Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're talking about a big purchase of Tesla energy products by Apple. We also have a leaked email on Tesla's deliveries for Q1, some news on Volkswagen purchasing credits from Tesla in China, and a couple other stories as well. Tesla stock started off strong today, reaching as high as $692 per share this morning, but fell throughout the day, finishing down 0.9% to $661.75. That compared to a strong day for the NASDAQ, finishing up 1.8%, and it traded relatively flat around that level throughout the day. As a reminder, the NASDAQ is closed tomorrow all day for Good Friday. As for my schedule, I'm going to do my next episode whenever deliveries come out, so maybe tomorrow, maybe on Saturday. All right, we'll start off with the Apple news here. So yesterday, as a part of an update on their clean energy goals, Apple announced that, quote, Apple is constructing one of the largest battery projects in the country, California Flats, an industry-leading grid-scale energy storage project capable of storing 240 megawatt hours of energy, enough to power over 7,000 homes for one day. This project supports the company's 130-megawatt solar farm that provides all of its renewable energy in California by storing excess energy generated during the day and deploying it when it is most needed, end quote. What Apple didn't share as a part of that update was who would be providing that energy storage, and as The Verge, I believe, has first reported, turns out that that is going to be Tesla. An approval document submitted to California's Monterey County last April discloses the plan to use 85 Tesla Megapacks for this project. According to The Verge, quote, Monterey County's planning chief confirmed that Apple will use the Tesla batteries in an email to The Verge, end quote. So first thing, this is a pretty big project. 240 megawatt hours is probably somewhere around $75 to $100 million in revenue for Tesla. It's really great to see Apple making that investment in energy storage. And then obviously what most people are going to find interesting about this is just even the fact that Apple and Tesla are working together at all. If this were Amazon, I don't think we would see Tesla be selected as the provider. I do take this as a strong signal, though, for Tesla's leadership position in the energy storage space. I think we're all kind of aware of that already, but I have to guess if there would have been a pretty close option that Apple probably would have preferred to work with someone that maybe is seen as less of a direct competitor in markets that Apple may have interest in playing in, whether that's transportation, artificial intelligence, or even just attention, whether that's from consumers or from investors. There's also been a fair amount of talent that has transferred back and forth between Apple and Tesla, of course, over the years. In an interview in 2015, Elon said, quote, they've hired people we've fired. We always jokingly call Apple the Tesla graveyard. If you don't make it at Tesla, you go work at Apple. I'm not kidding, end quote. Now, obviously, that cuts both ways. Tesla's hired plenty of people from Apple as well. But even more recently, this past December, Elon, commenting in reply to some rumors on the Apple car, said, quote, during the darkest days of the Model 3 program, I reached out to Tim Cook to discuss the possibility of Apple acquiring Tesla for 1/10 of our current value. He refused to take the meeting, end quote. So the time period that Elon is referring to there was probably back in 2018, but it was interesting to see this tweet again in December of 2020, knowing that Apple and Tesla had been putting this project together for quite some time already at that point. This definitely is not the scale of deal where Elon and Tim would have had to talk to each other by any means, but I do find it interesting nonetheless. At any rate, glad to see Apple and Tesla working together on this project. Hopefully this sets a precedent for some other companies getting interested in Tesla energy as well, and maybe could lead to some other future collaborations between Apple and Tesla too. Though I think this would have almost no bearing on whether or not they'd work together on anything related to cars. All right, next up here, we have what appears to be a leaked email from Tesla about deliveries in Europe. Take this for what it's worth. It is just from a source on Twitter. But to me, reading through it, it does look like it would be authentic. This wouldn't be from Elon Musk. This is likely a team leader in Europe somewhere. So again, grain of salt, but I did feel like it was at least worth sharing and discussing. So the alleged email is addressed to Team EMEA. That would be Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. Not Asia, I've made that mistake before. And there is a typo here in the first sentence. I don't know, maybe that actually adds to the credibility a little bit. But it reads, quote, I just wanted to a huge thank you and big congratulations for another outstanding quarter. Q1 is typically the hardest quarter of the year, but we managed some pretty incredible achievements. We 2x'd our sales compared to Q1 2020 and drove significant growth of our passenger vehicle market share. We grew sales by about 15% quarter over quarter. Yup, in Q1, typically the hardest quarter for auto sales, we beat Q4 2020 by a long way. Today, we smashed our previous record for deliveries in a single day. We had our highest delivery yield on supply ever. We delivered our first cars in Israel and secured thousands of orders since market launch. We expanded our location portfolio by 13 new locations. That's a new location every week. We grew vehicle repairs and service by close to 20% over Q4. And we had our best week for vehicle repairs all time and hit new highs for vehicle repair efficiency, reducing our wait times for a consecutive quarter, end quote. So taking these point by point, the first couple here on deliveries, the first one talking about 2x to last year, tough to, I think, take too much away from that given the context of Q1 last year and the shutdowns related to the pandemic. But if we're talking globally, again, this is just EMEA, but if we're talking globally, Last year, deliveries were about 88,000 vehicles, so 2x is roughly the expectation, a little bit less than that. But obviously Shanghai and therefore China should be driving a lot of that growth. So if EMEA were up 2x, I think that would be an overperformance, but it's really hard to know since we don't know the last year Q1 numbers for sure. Kind of the same issue with that next bullet, so up 15% quarter over quarter. Obviously, that would be well above expectation if we were talking globally, but I would have to expect that in Q4, European deliveries were suppressed, as Tesla likely highly prioritized more localized deliveries both in the US and in China to try to get to that 500,000 delivery goal. So doing that holds Q4 down, the base in this equation, and it would inflate then Q1 because Tesla would be making up for that by shipping more in Europe in Q1 to make up for that backlog. So I don't think up 15%, even if global deliveries are down a little bit, would be surprising at all. Third bullet here, single day delivery record. That probably happens most quarters, to be honest. The fourth is interesting, highest yield on supply. So that's kind of what we were talking about yesterday with the spread between production and deliveries. What they're saying here is just that of the vehicles they have, they delivered the highest amount of them ever. So that indicates a really low spread between production and deliveries, possibly even a negative spread where maybe deliveries outpace production. But again, this is just EMEA. So good performance there, I definitely think limits the spread that Tesla could have between deliveries and production, but it definitely doesn't mean that it couldn't still be negative. The US and China are about 70% of Tesla's revenue combined, so they're going to be a much bigger influence on what happens with that spread. And as we walked through that forecast yesterday, I'm already forecasting for much better leverage of inventory across the board, down just 4% versus production, versus down greater than 10% for the last 3 years in Q1. Israel, we've talked quite a bit about, but good to see the acknowledgement there of thousands of orders. That's really strong, if this is accurate. 13 new locations, always good to see. Grew vehicle repairs and service by close to 20% over Q4. Again, that's versus sales up 15%. So you can take that either way. Either that's good that throughput is higher or bad that they need to repair 20% more vehicles. Obviously, this is supposed to be a positive email, so probably the former, and they do call that out specifically in that last bullet, noting that they had their best week for efficiency and reduced wait times again this quarter. So if this is real, overall some good news in there, I think. Probably not good enough that it makes me really want to change my forecast. I think I could still hit my forecast and all this stuff could still be true. If I knew for sure it was, I would maybe up my numbers a little bit and maybe reduce my spread between production and deliveries a little bit as well. But I'll stick with them and hopefully we get a better idea in a day or two when the numbers come out. Next here is some potentially significant regulatory credit news. Reuters is reporting that, quote, a Volkswagen joint venture in China has agreed to buy green car credits from Tesla to help meet local environmental rules, three people briefed on the matter told Reuters, end quote. Unlike the Fiat Chrysler deal in Europe, where we had a pretty good idea about the value of that deal, we don't know a lot about this one. Reuters says, quote, it is unclear how many green credits FAW Volkswagen will buy from Tesla, but FAW Volkswagen's offer was around 3,000 yuan per credit, higher than prices in previous years, the sources said, end quote. So I'll try to do a little bit more digging on the size of that deal, and if I see anything, I'll be sure to pass that along. But I doubt we'll hear too much from either Volkswagen or Tesla on that deal. Regulatory credits are definitely going to continue to be a big wild card as it relates to earnings throughout this year. Also, while we're on Volkswagen, a little bit of a follow-up on this whole Volkswagen April Fool's Day story thing. I had to laugh today because in my What's Happening feed on Twitter, this article popped up saying, Volkswagen's April Fool's Day joke didn't go to plan. This is from Bloomberg Opinion. They capsulized it by saying, quote, you can't blame VW for wanting a little bit of Tesla's glamour, but its April Fool's Day calamity shows the dangers of trying to be cool and funny, end quote. Clicking into the article, Bloomberg has a statement from Volkswagen saying, quote, the renaming was designed to be an announcement in the spirit of April Fool's Day. We will provide additional updates on this matter soon, end quote. With Bloomberg adding, quote, earlier a VW spokesperson at the German manufacturer's headquarters in Wolfsburg called it, quote, an interesting idea, end quote, from the marketing department, end quote. That is the tone of just sheer regret from Volkswagen. Of course, we had previously heard from CNBC that Volkswagen did intend to post an update on this on April Fool's Day today. So far, we haven't seen anything on that. The original press release has been deleted. I think that may have happened yesterday, but I would imagine that some sort of apology release is being drafted. So why does all this matter? Well, the media is pissed at Volkswagen. Bloomberg here writes, quote, reporters from trusted outlets such as the Associated Press are furious at having been lied to by VW and made to look foolish, end quote. We'd previously talked about CNBC's salty comments. I think the reporters are going to get over it. I don't think that matters all that much. But the stock, VW stock, was up as much as 12.5% on Tuesday as this news was being released. Now, obviously, very different circumstances here. But for context, when Elon Musk famously tweeted funding secured, Tesla stock went up by about 10% that day. So obviously, VW stock had been climbing a little bit since Power Day. There's no way to know for sure if that 12.5% move was directly related to the Volkswagen thing. But since then, it's down about 7.5%. So it definitely seems correlated. So it's going to be really interesting to see what VW has to say. I'm guessing we'll hear from them tomorrow. All right, last couple of things here. First, a story from Bloomberg on California's energy storage targets. They are reporting that California is intending to install 1.7 gigawatts, they say gigawatts here, of battery storage in 2021. A little bit odd that they've chosen to define that based on the power capability rather than the energy storage itself. But the main point being that it's a lot. Bloomberg is saying that that, just in California, is more than what China plans to install this year. It also looks like it'd be about three times more capacity than was added in 2020. So super exciting to see this growth. This pairs nicely with the Apple story, which, to add a thought onto that I meant to mention earlier, that's been in the works for a year, and we're just now finding out about it. Same kind of story with the project that had just popped up in Texas a couple weeks back. So what other huge projects is Tesla working on from an energy perspective that we just don't know about right now? There are probably a lot of them. If and when this infrastructure plan that we talked about yesterday goes through, the demand for this type of stuff is only going to accelerate, and hopefully at a great time, as Tesla looks to make a step change here with their own battery production. All right, lastly here, we've got a long overdue update on the baby platypus situation. You may remember back at the end of 2020, Google released their year in search trends, and in the baby category, baby platypus was just narrowly edged out for the number one ranking by Elon Musk's baby. So if we take a look at how that's progressed year to date in terms of Google search interest, in the United States, baby platypus has just barely edged out Elon Musk, indexing on average year to date at a 28 versus Elon Musk's baby at a 24. So neck and neck there, but actually if we flip over to worldwide search interest, Elon Musk's baby actually jumps slightly back into the lead, indexing on average at a 31 year to date versus baby platypus at a 29. So we'll continue to monitor that situation, but that will wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you next time whenever the delivery numbers come out. Thank you.